Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Panchamayam Sadhana. We're coming to the conclusion of this chapter of how to perform bhajan of the holy name of Krishna, chanting with an attachment to the Lord, with an intense desire to become attached not only to Krishna, but to his purest devotee, to become attached to Srimati Radharani and her divine service in the mood of a maidservant, Kinkara, Ayananda Tanusha Kinkara. Kinkara means Kinkari Bhav, the mood of a Palyadasi. Palyadasi, Manjari maidservant, a protected maidservant, submissive and dedicated to the desires of Srimati Radharani. And this is text 21. The title of this verse is The Behavior of One Attached to the Service of Radha. Meditating on this principle of Radha Dasya while chanting japa late at night in the privacy of his bhajan kutir, Bhaktivinoda Thakur received all these divine revelations from the Lord in the heart of the thousands and thousands of verses that can be considered to illuminate these particular points of philosophy which are contained in the Shikshastakam in this fifth verse. They are 21 verses that manifested from the divine consciousness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from the treasure house of secrets. The treasure house of secrets, 21 secrets have been revealed. 21 secrets to describe how to attain attachment to Krishna Nam, how to attain attachment to Radharani. And this is one of those secrets. It's called Rahasyam Secrets. Each one of these 21 verses in this Panchamayam Sadhana, this chapter 5 of Sadhana, they are actually keys. They are keys to unlocking this treasure box of Radhadasyam by reading these verses, by studying these verses and the purports of these verses, by praying to the author of these verses, praying to the subject or the person described in these verses, praying to the book where these verses are contained, praying to the author of the book where these verses are found. All these prayers and all these moods of humility and submission combine together to attract the mercy of the Lord. And they actually, the mercy comes down, and then we can get some perception and understanding and some elevation in this direction of divine service. So this verse is 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 46. This is the mood, describes the mood of a sadhaka who has attained attachment for Radhadasya, or the behavior of one attached to the service of Radharani. Tayo pabukta shragandha vaso lankara charchita Uchishta bojino dasas tavamayam jayemahi. O Prabhu, we decorate ourselves with the garlands, sandalwood paste, cloth, ornaments, and ornaments worn by you. Since we are your servants who eat your remnants, we will certainly conquer over the illusory energy. Therefore, Prabhu, we are not afraid of your maya. We are only afraid of being separated from you. Can't remember who's speaking this verse, but it reminds me that there's a similar verse spoken by Uddhava, so this may be spoken by Uddhava to Krishna in 11th canto, because they are talking together there. The Navayogendras are also speaking. And in some parts, Krishna and Uddhava are speaking. So this is the point, that if we're always surrounding ourselves with the mercy of the Lord, then we can't be separated from the Lord. Inside our body, the mercy of the Lord circulates inside our body by taking His remnants, by taking His Mahaprasad. And the mercy of the Lord surrounds our body or encircles our body by wearing His remnants of His cloth. Sometimes we get some remnants or we wear as garlands, we wear outside, we're draping from our neck, we have as garlands, or we cover the outside of our body with the sandalwood. So the mercy of the Lord is covering our body, the mercy of the Lord is inside our body. And this way, externally and internally, we are contacting the mercy of the Lord. And by that covering, being covered by the mercy of the Lord, or being having the mercy of the Lord within us, then we are able to conquer Maya and be protected by Maya. So these are all of these forms of mercy are byproducts of having some connection with the Lord. You can't receive the Lord's garland, the Lord's sandalwood, or the Lord's prasadam remnants and ornaments unless you have some proximity to the Lord, unless you're near the Lord. If you're separated from the Lord, if the Lord is in India and you're in New York, then it's very hard to get his remnants. At least there's some distance or separation. You have to be there so he can give them. So the prayer concludes, the Bhagavatam prayer concludes by, as long as we have these articles of mercy from you, your prasad and your cloth and your ornaments and your sandalwood paste, we're not afraid. We know that Maya cannot conquer us because these articles and objects have prophylactic quality. Maya cannot touch us. We cannot be conquered by Maya. But what we are afraid of, we're very much afraid of being separated from you. Because if we're separated from you, then we can't receive your remnants. We can't receive your mala, your flower mala, or your tulsi mala, or the cloth, your vastra, it's called prasadi vesh, your vastra. And we can't receive your food remnants. So please never, we beg you never to let us be separated from you. This verse has been put in Bengali by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Tamara prasada mala ganda alankar vastra adi pariyadina jayatanamar tamara uchishta boji dasa parichaye tava maya jayakari anasaktahaye. Translation. We will pass our life wearing your prasadi garlands and unguents, cloth and ornaments. It's a very nice mood of identification. How the devotee, how the servant identifies with his Lord. How the devotee identifies with Krishna. We will pass our lives wearing your prasadi garlands, unguents. Unguents means the oil that you were smelling. We will smell that and put on our hand or keep on our body. Are we smelling that oil that was offered to you? Are we smelling the garlands and wearing the garlands which you wore and smelled? And cloths. Identifying myself as your servant, I will eat only your food remnants. Tomara prasad amala. Tomara prasad. Identifying, because if you're the servant of a master and you're living in his house, then when he eats, you eat. If he doesn't eat, you don't eat. And whatever he eats, that's what you eat. You don't have a separate agenda or a separate diet or separate menu. It's not that sometimes you eat something from the master and sometimes you go across the street and eat something, or sometimes you go down to the market. It's not, you don't deviate like this. So this is the pure devotee of the Lord. He won't eat anything at any time, any place that's not offered to the Lord. This is a purity of relationship. This is the bondage of love. He's thinking, how could I ever eat something that Krishna didn't eat? How could I even think of such a thing? How can I even contemplate such a thing? To eat some food that hasn't been offered first to Krishna. This is terrible. I could never do such a thing. And he says, I'm identifying myself as your servant, and the servant exists by the mercy of the master. Everything dedicated to the master, everything offered first to the master, and then if he calls me or offers me something in remnants, then I take. I have no independent existence. A servant, a true servant, A fully surrendered servant has no independent existence of the master. It's not like, yes, I'm in the temple, I offer something, and I take some prasad. But then I'm down the street, I have my money, and I buy pizza, ice cream, candy bar, snacks, cookies, biscuits, donuts, whatever I want. I feel hungry, I eat. Why have to? I can't wait. I can't wait till I get back to the temple. It's on the other side of town. So this is not a very surrendered servant. This means identifying as a partial servant, not as a full servant. So therefore, we have to consider what is our actual identity. So one who identifies as a full servant, then he'll never eat anything but Krishna prasadam. Thus, I will easily become attached to you and conquer your illusory energy, Maya. Tomaro chishta boji dasa parichaye tavamaya anasakta. So by implementing these type of practices, which Bhaktivinoda is telling here, which is a paraphrase of the Sanskrit verse, one can become attached to Krishna. And this fifth Panchmayam sadhana is all about becoming attached to Krishna. Asakti, Krishna Asakti. Performing nam bhajan with attachment. How to become attached to Krishna. Eating only Krishna's remnants, wearing only Krishna's clothes. So how does that work? Because you can literally get the vastra from the deities. Oftentimes you see in Braj especially, because there's a lot of very independent thinking people here. A lot of free thinkers in Vrindavan. And it's a forum. Vrindavan is an open forum for free thinkers, which means Brahman. Brahman is a free thinker. Brahmana, he's Udar Buddhi. Udar Buddhi means broad. Udar. Broad, expansive intelligence. Udar Buddhi, very liberal. Brahmins are very liberal, broad, expansive. Not narrow-minded, not bigoted. Not bigoted, prejudiced, narrow-minded. This is not Brahman, this is Kripana. Kripana is narrow-minded, bigoted, prejudiced. Actually foolish. Shows lack of discrimination. It's called Alpabuddhi. Alpabuddhi means little brain. Dumbbell. Alpabuddhi. Alpamedasaha. Alpamedasaha. Little brain. And Sumedasa. Sumedasa means good brain, good intelligence. Sumati. Good discrimination. Power of analysis. Sumati. So, in this Vrindavan, the land of free thinkers, you often find different devotees. They're wearing the prasadi vesha of the deities. I've seen over the years some old Baba, he's about 80 years old, and he gets some vastra, Takushi's vastra, some maha deity cloth from some very colorful outfit from Gopinath or Govindaji. Gold lame cloth, gold embroidered cloth, purple border or something, and he makes a Swami hat out of it. Everyone's seen Prabhupada's Swami hat, sadhu hat, little ear flaps, goes around the head, little flaps come down, a little button. So I've often seen moving around the lanes of Vrindavan some old Baba with very tattered and soiled, clean but soiled white cloth. Not exactly white, but it was white a few hundred years ago. But now it's clean. He washed it, but it's called soiled. Soiled, but clean. He washed it. It's pure. It's been in the sun. But it's oil stains here and there, and so many prasad stains or whatever. He doesn't really care about whitening in his cloth and putting super white, high-powered, tied, or surf or whatever. He just washes it in water, puts it in the sun. It's purified. And he wears it. He's not too concerned. He's niskanchan. Very plain, ordinary, barefoot and some tattered cloth. But on his head, his Swami hat is bright purple with a green border and gold fringe on it. And obviously he's not profiling. He's not trying to show off the latest fashions from Broadway or something. latest fall fashions from France. He's simply honoring and wearing on the top of his head the Mahaprasad cloth, which was given to him by some bhajari from Radha Govindaji, or Radha Damodar. And he needed a hat, so with his own hands, he sewed that hat, made to order, fit his head. And he walks around very happily sheltered, thinking, oh, this is the dress of Radharani. This cloth was a piece of Radharani's dress which she wore on Radhastami. And I saw Radharani wearing this beautiful dress on Radhastami, and she's been so kind to me that she has given me her prasadi vastra, prasadi vesh, through the hands of the pujari. The pujari has chosen me to get a small piece of her prasadi vesh. I feel so honored, I feel so happy, feel so respected and recognized by Radharani. I want to wear this hat on my head until it disintegrates. And that's what they do. They wear that purple hat with the green border and pink lace or whatever. They wear it for 50 years. It becomes oily and it also becomes soiled, but clean. It has oil stains here and there. And they wear it and you go in their kutir and you meet them and you see it hanging there and then you see it on their hook and then you see them wearing it the next day when they're doing madhukari. It's very inspiring. It creates very deep samskaras for the devotional mood. So these are the experiences one attains by quote-unquote hanging around Vrindavan. So the shastras become alive when you can see the living example of these things. So this person, of course, will never be separated from the Lord because it's the attitude behind the activity. This is the important thing. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Krishna is telling in 10th canto, Bhava Grahi Janardhan, that Krishna accepts the essence of one's bhava. What is the bhava behind your action? What is the feeling behind your expression? What is the mood behind your activity? So that Krishna is examining that most importantly. Because this is all about bhava bhakti. Everything is bhava. Bhava is not something we shoot for 300 years from now. Bhava begins with day one. Sadhana bhakti must be performed with drops of bhava. Otherwise it will never become bhava. If it's only mechanics, it'll remain. If it starts mechanically, it'll remain mechanically forever. There must be drops of bhava even in the execution of sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi sadhana must have sprinkled the bhava in it. So, done with feeling, done with a personal touch, TLC, tender loving care, a mood of love, a mood of trying to love, a mood of trying to please the person, Krishna, the person, Guru, Shri Guru, beautiful Guru, Radharani, Krishna. Some bhav, some feeling, attitude. Everyone's received a report card when they're young. B-. Yes, your son is very intelligent, but he has a bad attitude. Could be better. Should improve his attitude. He's like, oh, I don't want to be here. Okay, what's the answer? Oh, the answer's like this. He's smart. He knows the answers. But his attitude is like, oh, this is a waste of time. I have to be here. It's the law of the state. I have to sit in this class. So, Mr. Smith, what's the answer? Yeah, the answer is like this. The attitude. Not a very healthy, enthusiastic, supportive, interested, curious, learning attitude. It's just an attitude, well, I'm here because my father will beat me if I don't go to school. So the attitude is the important thing, the mentality. Let's look at this purport here. Persons who are not inclined to serve Krishna are intent on their own sense enjoyment. Thus, they perform various activities, sleeping, sitting, traveling, staying in one place, or sporting. However, if the same activities are connected to Bhagavan, the jiva becomes eternally blessed. If the jiva is eager for the service of honoring remnants enjoyed by Krishna, garlands, fragrant oil, clothes, ornaments, he will not be ensnared by the bondage of material existence. Here, Uddhava is saying to Bhagavan, so it is Uddhava. Uddhava is speaking to Bhagavan because they're about to be separated. And Krishna, as Krishna gave teachings to Arjuna on the battlefield, Of course, they continued to be together for some time. He also gave instructions to Uddhava at the end of his manifest pastimes, his Prakat Leela here. He gave very, very similar instructions to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So, in this Uddhava Gita, Uddhava also knows that the Lord is about to wind up his pastimes and return to the spiritual world. So he's fearing that. And throughout his whole life, even as a young boy, when he's a young boy, before he was personally engaged in the service of Krishna, he used to worship a deity of Krishna. And he used to receive the remnants of the deity and eat the remnants of... Uddhava used to eat the Mahaprasad from the deity of Krishna and wear the clothing. Then later he was engaged directly in Krishna's service. So, Sakshat Krishna. Directly he would eat Krishna. Krishna would give him something from his hand and give him his cloth. As you know, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan, when they met him at Uddhavkyari, which is near Nandagaon, in the fields, in the forest, private place, when they met Uddhava, they mistook him to be Krishna. Why? Because Uddhava was wearing Pitambara dhoti. Whose dhoti? Krishna's dhoti. He was wearing Pitambara chatra, Krishna's chatra. He was wearing turban, everything, all mala, everything, he was earrings, kundala, everything looking exactly like Krishna. And I can't remember, I think his body is also bluish. Uddhava's body is also bluish sham color. So even his color of his body is sham rang. So body looking like Krishna, and body wearing all ornaments, mala, garlands, unguents. He's smelling like Krishna, looking like Krishna, dressed like Krishna, ornamented like Krishna. All Krishna's prasadi. So naturally the gopis concluded in their hysteria, viraha, and their separation, pain of separation. Oh, maybe Krishna's come. He promised he would return. Has he returned? Oh, it's Krishna. Oh, it's not Krishna. Who is it? Someone like Krishna. So this way when he was intimately, directly associated with Krishna, he was surrounding himself with Krishna's prasadi. Now he knows that soon, now in this 11th canto discussion, he knows that Krishna is about to leave this planet. So that's why he says in this verse that we heard from 11th canto, we decorate ourselves, we are decorating, Uddhava, Uddhava, first person, and we, your devotees, Krishna. We, Uddhava, I am your minister, I am your friend, I am your confidant, I am your devotee. And then all we devotees of you, Krishna Bhaktas, we adorn ourselves with your ornaments and unguents and sandalwood paste and your mala, and we wear your prasadi vesh, your prasad cloth. And by doing that, I, Uddhava, and all of your devotees, we are protected from maya, because these articles are powerful. Tadina Smarchanam, I already told you that Krishna is most worshipable, and things connected with Krishna are most worshipable and powerful. Prataparuja was worshipping the chatter of Lord Chaitanya as if it was Lord Chaitanya himself. Had all the power of Lord Chaitanya and mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which he did. So by surrounding ourselves with these items and ingesting your prasad and keeping your prasad within our body, that's why they say, the well-wishers of devotion, they say whenever you travel, you should always keep a tulsi, maha tulsi leaf in your ear, or always eat mahaprasadam before you travel, so there's mahaprasadam in your belly when you're moving. Not like, I'll get breakfast when I get to Delhi, leave on an empty stomach. There should be some tulsi, at least charanamrita and tulsi water in your stomach. I had some friends recently leaving for Bombay. I said, have you eaten anything today? No, we'll take something on the way. We're not hungry now. I said, no, take some tulsi, some hot tulsi, and some tulsi water. In your belly there should be mahaprasad. This is prophylactic. This is devotion. And so many other things are done also. But this is what's being told in this verse, that when we have prasadam in our belly and your food remnants and we're surrounded by all your articles, we're protected from the illusory energy. We are victorious over the illusory energy. But now I'm afraid, my dear Krishna, that as I know, you're about to wind up your pastime. This is what I'm afraid of. I am afraid, we're only afraid of being separated from you. I, Uddhava, your pure devotee and servant, I am afraid of being separated from you and all the devotees of the Lord. This is the only thing we fear, is being separated from you, my Lord. And Prabhupada has also quoted some verses and said that the greatest fear of a Vaishnava, what is the greatest fear of a Vaishnava? To be separated from the devotees of the Lord. Because we may not have direct sakshat darshan of Krishna moment to moment. And we don't so much perceive Krishna directly in the front of our eyes. But we can perceive, even in our limited state, we can perceive the devotees with our eyes. We can see them, feel them, touch them, talk to them, relate to them, serve them, receive their guidance, blessings, protection, and mercy. So we're afraid, oh, if they go away, I'm all by myself. This Maya is very powerful. And there's so many agents of Maya all around. Family, friends, relatives, so-called family, friends, and relatives. And what to speak of the anti-party and Maya's representatives, Maya Devis or Maya Devas. Maya Devis or Maya Devas. And for women, it's Maya Devas. And for men, it's Maya Devis. And I can get swallowed or devoured at any moment in it, from any direction. Oh, Krishna, where are the devotees gone? Oh, I'm breaking my head against a stone. Where is my Sarup Damodar gone? Where is my Krishna's Kaviraj gone? Oh, where? I'm all by myself. That song is there. Jayani lo prema dana karuna prachur. The song, vilap, samsparshad vilap. Lamentation and separation, viparita. Lamentation and separation from viraha. Lamentation and separation from the parishads of Lord Chaitanya. What's that song we sing in the Tirubhava of the devotees? You know the song. Jayani lo prema dana. Where is my Ramachandra? So this song is showing this point that, oh my Lord, I can go to hell, I can go anywhere as long as the devotee is by my side. But if I'm by myself, alone in this world, I feel so fearful, so frightened, so weak, so estranged, so alienated, so vulnerable. Please protect me, please save me, don't leave me alone. So Prabhupada is saying that a devotee can bear anything, a Vaishnava can bear anything but separation from the devotees. Separation from the devotees is worse than death. But when you're with the devotees, everything is blissful. Kevala Ananda Kanda, Radhe Radhe. So this is what's being told by Uddhava. He's telling Krishna, Krishna, I'm fearing that you're about to leave this world. And this is my greatest fear, to be separated from you. So then, I'll finish this purport. So by obtaining, so Uddhava is saying here to Bhagavan, by obtaining your prasad, the living entity becomes free from the slavery of Maya. Hari Bhakti Vilas states that a person who doubts the potency of items offered to Vishnu will reside in hell for eternity. So that's that point about Tudiyanam Samarchanam. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati. She's saying, oh, you're always chanting Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, and dancing. And he said, why? Because he said, Maheshwadeva Sankarshan. His name is Ram. Ram Sankarshan. And she says, well, who is... And then Parvati poses a question, who is the most worshipable of all worshipable entities? And he says, Araranam, Araranam Sarvesham Vishnu Araranam Param. He said, Araranam, of all the worshipable things, Sarvesham, Sarva, Vishnu is the most worshipable. Then he says, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, Tadiyanam, Tadiya. Those objects, persons, places, and things in relation to Vishnu are Sama Archan. They are equally as worshipable as the Lord Himself. So, Sri Dham Vrindavan is worshipable as Krishna. The Sri Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, are as worshipable as Krishna. Mahaprasadam is worshipable as Krishna. And all the articles used by the Lord, the Mahaprasad and the Vaish and the cloth, it's all worshipable. So he's saying here that, like this. So and then if someone doubts that, then he's considered to have a hellish mentality. One should not disrespect Mahaprasad. Even, this is told from Shastra, even if Mahaprasadam has fallen from the mouth of a dog, it's still supremely pure and acceptable for a brahmana. Now this will be a true test of devotion. If you can take the chapati from the mouth of a dog without any hesitation. The prasadam and prasadam offered to ancient deities is extremely pure and worthy of acceptance, but it is not proper to distribute the prasadam. Oh, that's kind of a funny point. Maybe I'm not going to read that. This is kind of the editor's or the commentator's point here. But this is a fact. He's telling here about ancient deities. The prasadam is very powerful. Because generally, ancient deities, they're very strict. They're established by very strong paramparas. So the standard of worship is quite high. So there's high purity there in the consciousness of the Pujari and also in the Dravya. It's called Shudravya. They're very careful to offer very pure substances to the deity with proper mantra and purification of all the elements and the place and the time and the circumstance. And the Pujaris are generally very qualified in these very ancient and old temples like Sri Rangam and Balaji, etc. So when one takes prasadam there, it's quite powerful. Quite powerful. But it doesn't preclude the point that even a newly established deity and a newly established temple, if it's established by a pure devotee and who has trained pure representatives, that can be equally as powerful as a prasadam from a very ancient temple. But this is what he's trying to say here. I think we can continue there. Tomorrow we'll finish this purport. Is there any questions on this point? Yes, Mayapur. Earlier, though, for those that came late, earlier in the discussion we were saying about one Brahmin we visited this morning. He said he was asking who was cooking, and I said, I'm cooking for myself, and one of my students is cooking for the visitors in the ashram. And he said, yes, Anna is mana. So whatever the mind of the cook is, that goes, that consciousness, the heart, mind, and consciousness of the cook goes into the food. So it's actually an old adage that a husband is advised, don't eat your wife's cooking if she's angry. Because if she's angry, and she's angry with you, then when you eat the cooking, you'll become angry too. So there's a transferal. This is karmic transferal. Karma is transferred in so many ways, by looking, by touching, by thinking, by interacting with money, many, many ways. Some very, very powerful ways, by eating food. Eating food carries heavy karma of the thoughts, the mood, the desires, the consciousness, the bhava of the person is in the food. So how to harmonize the point of the mind of the pujari or the cook is in the food, and the point with that prasadam is never contaminated, even if it falls from the mouth of a dog. I think it's quite easy to harmonize. The point is, if the food has been offered by a pure devotee and pure consciousness to the Lord, then it's very high class, highly sanctified and purified mahaprasadam, which has been fully accepted by the Lord and relished and enjoyed by the Lord, because he relishes and enjoys the purity of the devotion, not the purity of the apple pie. It's not apple pie that Krishna enjoys, it's pure devotion. So when a pure devotee instills his pure bhakti into the apple pie, or let's say apple samosa, and then he offers it to the Lord, then the Lord is relishing, and maybe expertly prepared also, that's all the better. But even if it's a banana peel offered by Vidura's wife in Hastinapur, Krishna ate the banana peel when she threw away the banana. That story is there in Mahabharata. So Krishna is not after tasty foods, but he's after tasty love, the taste of love, taste of prema. So when that pure devotee offers everything, instills all of his prema and bhakti into the food, the Lord extracts that and relishes that, and then if he's kind, if he doesn't devour all the samosa, he may leave something out of his mercy, then that samosa is now prema bhog. It's called prema prasad. It's maha prasad. Very powerful. Now, if so happens that's being taken somewhere and falls out of a bag, and then a dog is eating it, it's still prema prasad. And then the dog is eating it. The dog is not going to change it because it's already transformed. It's already electrified. The dog can't do anything to alter that electrified state. It's already attained this state of pure Krishna consciousness. So then, now if you come along and say, leave some for me. Hey, this is Balaji's samosa. I recognize this samosa. This is from Balaji. What do you, hey, you had enough. Hey, jump. And you say, oh, wow, what mercy. Balaji, I found on the street this dog snitched this samosa somehow and ran away from the temple grounds. And I'm just pedaling my rickshaw. You know, jump off the rickshaw. Hey. So there's no contamination. I'll get prema by eating that prasad, whether it falls from the mouth of a dog or here or there or anywhere. This is the point. There's no contamination, there's no loss of the inherent, the intrinsic quality of that substance, which has been transformed by the favorable contact with the Lord, is not changed or altered due to any other contact, even from the mouth of a dog. Whether that dog has rabies and all kinds of diseases, which is in his saliva, and you eat that samosa and you get rabies, that's another point. But the transfer because that's just riding on the surface, the rabies or disease or the diphtheria and other dog transmitted diseases to man, like diphtheria, which I don't know if it still exists, but diphtheria, it comes from dogs to man. That's just riding on the surface, on the material surface of the substance, of the object, the samosa. But imbued within that very samosa is pure love of God. The dog is getting it, and you're getting it too. Kuta Mahaprasad. Or Mahakuta Mahaprasad. Well, I mean, there's stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other numerous other scriptures about Kalidas was a Bengali Vaishnava, and he was famous for honoring the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, high or low, any caste, is that the other thing. He would go and feed them, give them food, and they would make food, and he would hide in the bushes, and they would eat, and they'd come and throw their leaf plates in the bushes, and he would go lick the leaf plates and eat them. He had no discrimination at all. And Lord Chaitanya later embraced him and gave him so much mercy, because he wanted to show to the world how much he appreciated this non-discriminatory attitude towards prasadam and towards Vaishnavas in general, which was exhibited by Kalidas. I think it was Kalidas. So that certainly is the highest end of expression of pure vision, to act like that and to behave like that from his side. But the devotee's side, from the devotee who has the prasad on his plate and is guarding it or whatever, that's his own humility, that, oh, please don't take my remnants. I'm so fallen. Prasadam is not fallen. Prasadam is always above our head. This is called tadinam. Tadinam means transcendental object. Anything connected with Krishna is above us. Everything is above our head. Even the ground of Vrindavan is above our head. That's why Brajaraja is kept up here. We honor Brajaraja. We take the dust and put it on our head. We don't take the dust and rub it on the bottom of our feet. It comes here if we walk. But it's honorable substance. It's the most honorable substance. Because all of this Brajaraj and Prasad, everything connected with Krishna, is transcendental. It's of higher stuff than we are. We are made of this material prakriti, ashta prakriti, bhumirapo na lo vayu kamano buddhayavaja, earth, water, air, fire. This body is made of the elements, bhutas, panchabhuta, elements. We are inferior stuff, prakriti. It says in Bhagavad Gita, there's a para prakriti and a para prakriti. Apara prakriti is this inferior stuff, inferior energy. Apara prakriti is transcendental substance, spiritual substance, chinmay vastu, or chintamani. So everything of that order, everything of Krishna, his nam, rup, dam, nam, rup, gun, lila, parishishta, dam, parikar, is all higher stuff than we are made of. We have a touch of that within us. There's one tiny, tiny, insignificant touch of that within us known as Atma. That is also Chinmoy Vastu. That is spiritual spark, dot. But the entire firmament, the entire totality of the spiritual world is made of that higher stuff. It's all made of Jiva Shakti. Not Jiva Shakti, but this Apara Shakti. So the approach of the Vaishnava is the utmost regard and humility and reverence towards everything transcendental. The soil, the land, the clothing, the food, the articles, the cup, the spoon, the chamara, everything—it's higher. It's above. We hold it above our head. Like when we get a flower offered to the Lord, what do? We always go like this. We get one flower. Oh, it's a flower. Another flower from the garden. No, this flower is not from the garden. This flower is prasad, prasadi phool. This is prasad, mercy from God. This prasad, this flower has been connected with God. It has become godly. Not God, that's Mayavad. It's become godly. Now it's transcendental. Now when I receive it, I touch it to my head. Oh, this thing is higher than me. This high substance, this spiritual substance, has come down to contact this filthy material body, which is made of this lower, inferior. It's called inferior material energy, Krishna says in Gita. Beyond this inferior inferior energy, there is a superior energy. You know this Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 4 or so. Verse 4 or 5. Besides this inferior energy, there is a superior energy of mind, which is the transcendental energy. So all of these things become transcendental, connected with the supreme transcendence. So when we receive them, first thing we show honor, respect. We go to some holy water. That holy water, this Radhakund, Manasi Ganga, Jamuna, Ganga, or the Samudra, Jagannath Puri, this holy substance, we bow down. And then we take the water, we hold on our shir, upar. We put on our head, drop of water, pranams to you. I am below you, you are above me. Oh, flower, pranams to you, flower. I am below you, you are above me. We get some prasadi mala. We don't just go, oh, great, don't. Like some big king. Oh, you go to some king to get mala. He doesn't touch it to his head. He goes like this, yes. Put it on. Doom. And the servants put the mala on the king. But when we, servants of the supreme king, Bhagavan, when we see prasadi mala, then we say, oh, this high thing, this high spiritual thing has been given to such a lowly person as me, so unqualified, so no anadikari. I have no qualification for such a blessing. Oh, so wonderful. The Lord's mala, this was hanging around God's neck. He smelled this, he honored this, he wore this in the rasa dance, he wore this behind the cows in the afternoon. Now this is being offered to me. Oh, my Lord, so kind, so merciful. And we touch it to our head. First we honor, we pay obeisances to the article. Oh, this spiritual substance has come to me, this prasad, this spiritual mercy. We touch it to it, oh my Lord. Then we sometimes touch it to our eyes. Have you ever seen real bhaktas, how they act? They get some mala, they touch it to their eyes. Touch it, oh, the Lord's garland. Oh, then they smell it, and they touch it to their heart. And then, okay, now, oh, very reverentially and respectfully, oh, it's like this. You want a garland? You want a maha garland? Yeah, okay. Doom. Oh, I don't want it. Doom. There's so much, no depth, no realization, no philosophical foundation. Now, philosophy gives the eyes to see, and devotion gives the heart to feel. So we need philosophy and devotion. It's called Bhakti Vedanta. So Prabhupada is Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So he gives us the eyes to see and the heart to feel. The eyes to see and the heart to feel. Bhakti to feel and eyes to see. Vedanta. Gaudiya Vedanta. So together then you can make progress. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Vanchakava Trivyascha Kripa Sindhya Vedanta.